one, it will be by himself. So I think he will need a lot of... he will need a lot of help from all of us to educate him, but he's very, very bright and very passionate about space, and he has a lot of energy, and I expect he will do a great job promoting the transatlantic relationship in space. So, without further ado, Jean-Jacques.
Yeah. Thank you, Vincent, for your kind words. And yes, it's the very last minutes of my assignment here, so I will have been working until the very last second of my stay here. And Mr. Pierre Milan, who is here, who is chief accountant of CNES, and please be very kind with him, will witness back at CNES headquarters that I did my job properly. So right after my speech, my tenure will be over. So for nasty questions and complaints, you will have to address to Emmanuel. So today, my purpose is not to develop any philosophy about the French space policy and even less about the European space policy, but maybe I deemed it interesting and necessary to maybe express my views, my personal views on this, and the recent issuing of the report that Vincent mentioned gives me a very nice background, let's say, because this report basically addresses all of the issues of the space policy and provides with a number of recommendations. So I will maybe not comment all of the recommendations, but I will focus on them, and I'll try to highlight what are for me the most interesting of them. But before that, I will have to pay a tribute to Christian Cabal that probably many of you know. Christian Cabal has been a driving force behind this report. Christian Cabal used to be head of the French parliamentary group, space parliamentary group, for years. So he's not anymore today part of the French Parliament after the recent elections we had, which is pretty unfortunate, as it seems that we have lost one of our best advocates for space in France. But I really hope that sometime and somewhere we'll find a place in the French political system to continue the support he always expressed to us. So this report is the second of its kind, and for those who were interested in the French space policy, they will have noticed that the first report, which was issued by Senator Revol several years ago, has been, I would say, more or less fully implemented. So these reports are basically very, very important documents. This one, the second one, is of a different nature. It's of a different nature, first, because its ambition is to make things smooth. If you, how many of you read the report already? Oh, yeah, there is an English version. So, how many of you? Okay, so, I can feel free now to speak and to say whatever I want, but no. If you go through it, you will notice that it's written in a rather provocative tone, and the provocation is there just to give some impulse for a move for better and for change. And what is also important to stress is that the Parliament issued this report at the very end of its tenure. So it's a kind of testament of what what the French policy has been under the precedent parliaments, and a testament and the status of its results, and its ambition was to provide these recommendations I mentioned to better prepare the future. One of the conclusions, and you will probably be convinced of that after my speech, hopefully, is that there is actually a need for change. I will not enter into the details of the recommendations. As I told you, there are 50 of them, so it's too much. They are not equal, all of them are not good. Some of them I will not support. But I will try to highlight the spirit of them much more than the precise the details that of them. And I will, of course, not enter it into any comment regarding the domestic French policy regarding, funding, budgets, and all the internal process that we have in France. So the recommendations are basically, there are several sets of recommendations. The first set is deals with the governments of the space sector in France. The second one deals with the governments of space sector in Europe. And, you will notice that they are pretty consistent, hopefully. And then there are another set of recommendations regarding the programs and the missions. So regarding first the governance of the space sector in France, the first thing is that this report clearly states the need for the development of the French space vision for space to be defined jointly by the government, by the parliament, by CNES as a French space agency, and industry. And this is, I think the most important recommendation of all this set. Because right now, as Vincent said, now that CNES has overcome a kind of crisis in the recent years, as you all know, now CNES is considering the future with confidence and with margins for new initiatives. But these initiatives must now enter in the framework of a global vision supported by all the actors in France. This vision, the second recommendation is that this vision should build on the strength of the French in space, basically autonomous access to space for Europe and not only for France, through the continuation, for instance, of the Ariane launcher, but not only. They also address the Vega small launcher currently developed by European Space Agency under Italian leadership, I think we call it that way. They will address the Soyuz in Kourou project, I will come back to that later. This recommendation also addresses the defense issues and clearly states that defense must be or is a keystone for the space sector. And for now, this is quite obvious in the U.S. space policy. But if you compare U.S. space policy and European space policies, and I will not redo what has been done right here 2 weeks ago, you will notice that military does not really have the same place in the space policy on both sides of the Atlantic Ocean. This report stresses the importance of space science and the leading role that France should continue to have there, and also opens the door for human spaceflight, and which is pretty new in the European framework, surprisingly maybe for some of you, but for now there is no European policy dedicated towards human spaceflights. Basically, in Europe, never any authority have answered clearly the question of should we send or do we want to send European astronauts in space, yes or no. We have had programs, we have had participations through ESA to the ISS program, but it's at the program level. It has never been a political decision made by any kind of political authority to decide whether or not Europe should have a human space program. And this question, this yes or no question, should be addressed at the political level. And I think this report properly addresses this issue. And the second question is, which would be how, if the answer is yes, if Europe wants to send astronauts in space, the second question is how. And this is of another nature, and this agency should take care of providing answers to them. But the basic question, this report is a political report, and it stresses that we need first to decide whether or not we want to go down that path. Then we find another set of recommendations regarding the governance of the space in France, and suggest the creation of a space council at the highest level of the government. So this is once again a purely political issue, and I think that it addresses the issue of the level at which space must be dealt with at government level. Right now, as you know, the space is placed under the authority of the research minister in France, which is pretty fine for, you know, space and technology, science, and a number of things. But on the other hand, there are some issues that research minister maybe is not very comfortable with. I will mention, of course, defense, but space is also partly under the authority of defense. But not only, we have, for instance, manned flight. Research minister is not highly motivated for that, and one of the consequences of this is probably the shyness that France and Europe has in European flight. So to address properly all of the applications of space, this report states that at the highest level of the government, in order to be able to address in a transverse way all the applications supported by space technologies, then we should have something which is a bit higher, maybe, than the current Minister of Research. Then there are another set of recommendations regarding the planning, the long-term planning. So it suggests a space planning law covering a period over 10 years. And voted by the parliament, which would give a strong anchor to the space program and some confidence on the space budget on the long term, and it also suggests some increase in the space budget, which is something that we all pretty much welcome, and then it also stresses suggests to develop some programs regarding or dedicated to technological research and demonstrators, which is something that CNES is, in my opinion, currently doing pretty well. Last, regarding governance of the space sector in France, it also suggests that CNES should communicate better towards the public regarding the usefulness of space for the citizens. Then I will address the second set of recommendations, which is the governance of space sector in Europe and not limited to France. So a first recommendation concerns ESA. And I will be very careful because I know the ESA rep is there. And it suggests that decisions in the ESA Council should be taken on the basis of a qualified majority. So this is, I think, something that should be a goal, a long-term objective for Europe, because ESA has been, at the very beginning, created, or just like I would say a club of member states, good-willing member states, wanting to join their forces to do some good science together. And, of course, at the time it was created, the objective was to motivate member states, European member states, to invest in space. And of course, it was pretty good, and it does a tremendous job, because all the countries started, you know, raising their space budgets, and at the same time they were given some assurance that the space budget would be used according to their wishes and priorities. So at the same time, you know, say, please give me money and you have full control of how I will be using the money. And it was useful, and it worked very well. But at that time, there were no political issues, there were no strategic issues related to space, no industrial issues, no commercial issues. So the background today is a bit different, and maybe today there would be a need for some change. But this is something that cannot be achieved overnight, because the implications of this recommendation are pretty strong and go in depth in the organization of ESA, and I would say in the funding of ESA. Because if you were to take decisions on a qualified majority basis, then it will imply that some member states would partially lose control of how their funds are used within ESA. So it modifies the way ESA is funded. So it's, I would say, basically, this must be an objective, but for now, I would say a long-term objective. Then there are some recommendations regarding the geographical return. Of course, geographical return, well, is something that I will not develop. I can. I know very well this issue. I've been working years and years on this within the ESA framework. But the suggestion is that geo-return is fine, is a good rule, and it's not dissociable from the funding that I just explained regarding the funding of ESA programs just explained, but that some arrangements should be made in order to provide for some flexibility. Okay. Another recommendation is that Europe should, at its level, also develop a space vision, which is pretty consistent with the previous recommendation at the level of France, and that the European vision should be based on the following principles: first, collective security; then, protection of the citizen; balanced development of the European Union; transverse approach to address all of the potential applications of space; and a system of system approach as well; and regarding space and exploration, combining it suggests to combine automatic probes and human spaceflight missions. So all of these are pretty sound principles, I believe, on which we could build on. Then, this vision should be adopted by the European Councils. It also suggests, this is once again pretty consistent, which was suggested at French level, at national level, that a space council is set within the European Commission, and that a space commission is set up within the European Parliament in order to address space at the highest possible level of the political authority. Then the report also suggests that the European Union contributes to the definition and funding of European space policy. And this is also something that is very, very basic, and but also very important, because it has really strong implications. I think that for now, everybody welcomes EU entering the game of the European space policy, and everybody feels that the need for a leadership in Europe at the highest level, political leadership in Europe, covering or addressing the whole of the space sector. But and nobody sees or nobody suggests that EU is not the right body to play that role. But at the same time, EU right now is not very much funding the space programs. If we compare the ESA or what is funded by member states through ESA or not to what EU in itself funds for space applications and programs. So the question here is, how can we claim leadership if we don't bring funds? Well, basically, we are now, you know, with the European space policy recently adopted. So everybody welcomes the EU entering the game. Everybody looks forward to EU taking the leadership. But at the same time, it has some consequences on at budgetary level. And this report, I think, properly stresses this. What might appear as a contradiction. Well, this is I think I've gone through all of the recommendations regarding governance, and as everybody suggested, I should continue. I will now address the space programs and missions. There are a lot of recommendations. The first set is covers the launchers issues, and the very first recommends the continuation or the extension of the EGAS program. EGAS is European Guaranteed Access to Space, as well as the completion of the Soyuz launch pad and the installation of Soyuz and Vega at the Guiana Space Center, which is something I think which is pretty obvious. If you want to build a space policy, whatever it is, the very first stepping stone is to have access to space. You cannot build a European space policy based on means that you don't control. I think that the US have the Americans have understood that long ago, and Europe as well. And we are just continuing now there. Or this recommendation is just a continuation of what's currently going on. And the Ariane plus Soyuz plus Vega would provide Europe with a nice range of launchers covering the whole market, I would say, which is an objective and which would be pretty fine for Europe. And it also builds on what's, in my view, is probably one of the crown jewels of Europe, which is the Guiana Space Center. Which is ideally placed along the equator, and for those who have not had any opportunity to visit, I would encourage you to try to get there, and for this address Emmanuel. And believe me, I spent 6 years there, actually, one of the most exciting period of my life. And the technical facilities, believe me, are pretty impressive. And I think that recently there was a nice coverage from the New York Times and Mike Griffin reporting on what he said there and how he felt, what he saw, and I think he was positively impressed. Then Well, there are a couple of recommendations where we are, which are pretty detailed. First, it suggests the development of a reignitable cryogenic engine, which would be something pretty nice, so opening new possibilities for air and space on the commercial market. And it also opens the door to some broad-scale transatlantic collaborations. And there is a parallel made between what has been done in aeronautics and what could be done in space, but would never happen for I don't know what reasons. And the example given is, of course, the CFM engine in the commercial market, aviation market, which is one of the biggest industrial and commercial successes in this area, which is based on a very strong and very intricate French-American collaboration. And it just suggests why should not we consider or think of doing something equivalent for the commercial, non-commercial launcher space market. This is, well, something we might pay a thought to. Then also this recommendation suggests the qualification of Ariane 5 for human spaceflight missions, which is something which is not out of reach of Europe, but of course this recommendation must in itself be considered as not independently from the previous ones I tried to expose. Which is, of course, if Europe was to decide that they want to invest in manned spaceflight, then they have the right carrier, which is Ariane 5, and upgrading it for manned flight is not out of reach. Then they also suggest the development of suborbital flight technologies to be able to better address some commercial rising markets. I will not develop on that. And it also suggests that studies and tests might be continued for nuclear propulsion systems for deep space exploration. And here, you all know, of course, that how much nuclear propulsion might open new doors for especially for exploration, and if one day we were to go down that path, then France would most likely be a very good partner. But for that, we must continue just to study. It does not suggest any development of any kind of operational system there, but just studying and testing. Then the next set of recommendations deals with the defense. It really suggests a strong increase in the European defense space sector budget by 2020. And it also suggests strong development of military telecommunications space systems in the NATO within the NATO framework. So it also suggests the continuation of Syracuse 3C and Helios 3, which also deals with telecommunications and recognition. And also it opens the door to some studies, once again studies, regarding ballistic missile early warning, or the studies for a European system regarding ballistic missile early warning. And basically this might also be a strong area for collaboration in the future. And I think that some ways of collaboration should be investigated in this direction, because basically this is not a national or a regional issue. This is a global issue, and in many respects the interests between Europe and United States there are totally intricated. And the best example I could give of that is the discussions which are currently taking place in Europe and in the US regarding some facilities to be implemented in the Eastern Europe. Then the next step of recommendations deals with space services. So the first recommendation there is to develop a European 20-year plan ratified by the European Union and placed under the aegis of ESA, which is, I think, the key actor on which to invest to develop to develop applications and especially in Earth observation and exploration. EUMETSAT is also confirmed as the key operator for GMES infrastructure, but I think that EUMETSAT as an operational agency has demonstrated skills in the meteorological area, and of course GMES being of the same nature would be a natural development for such an agency. Then there are a couple of recommendations regarding Galileo and the continuation of the program. And I expect some questions from Ray on that. and also, it clearly states that the problems raised by the PRS, the Public Rated Service, should be cleared in liaison with the NATO authorities. And the very last set of recommendations, this will deals with human space flight missions. The first one is concerns the conditions for operation of the ISS after 2015-16, and these conditions should be examined as far as from 2007 in cooperation with all partners. And I think that this is something that we should work on pretty soon. And we're already, but I'm not saying that we're doing nothing. And it also suggests a revision of the ESA Aurora program. And I think one of the reasons for that is that this Aurora program is clearly an outcome of a huge and exhaustive exercise made in Europe to prioritize the missions for exploration of the solar system. And I think that a very good job has been done, and one of the outcomes of this work has been the setup of the Aurora program within the ESA framework. And the outcome, I would say, I will not enter into detail, but basically, the outcome of this exercise has been that Mars for Europe has been set as the first priority. So, robotic missions to Mars first, but at that time we never heard of the U.S. initiative for exploration, and it was simply not in the landscape. And what is suggested there is that maybe an initiative of this kind or of this size might justify to redo the exercise of prioritization, which is pretty painful. And there is a lot of resistance that, of course, everybody can understand because it's... It questions a lot of ongoing commitments, but at the same time, we must have this in mind that maybe this exercise should be redone. I will finish with this one. The last recommendation recommends is that moon landing by a first European crew and their return to Earth using the European Space Transportation System are programmed for 2018, which is pretty ambitious. Okay, so I've gone through it all. I'm fully aware that I've been pretty fast through that. So if you are familiar with the European issues, I think you are not lost, and probably you have not heard anything new to your ears. But if you're not, I express you all my regrets. And if you have Any questions? I would be very happy to try to address them. But Emmanuel also might answer your question, as he in his previous assignment was secretary of the French space parliamentary group, and so he's been a key actor in the elaboration of this report. So basically, isn't better than me, I think, to answer many questions. But
just maybe want to take the floor for a second. I just took as the preview on my previous position, and not as the CNES representative at all. I think there was one main guideline that appears very quickly in this report. First, space is not a self-sustainable economy. It's a sort of haute couture. It relies on sovereignty. It relies on very specific key issues. You do not produce satellites or launchers as you produce cars or whatever. So it really needs a continuing economic funding, public. It's a sort of Keynesian economy, which has to be always sustainable. And I think in this commitment, public commitment, France did it well, because we did a lot with quite a few amount of money. But it was like America on a continuous period of time. And all the newcomers in space, all the new countries in space, are discovering that today, that space is not so easy to do. Even if you have a lot of money, you need a long time to learn, you need a long time to achieve, and to raise a capability. That's a point. I think the other point is that we tried to clarify the European space policy issues. Europe has a three-dimension space governance dimensions. You have a national pillar with the national agencies like the CNES. You have the intergovernmental side, which is represented here by my friend, the ESA side. And you have the supranational authority, which is the European Union. But never forget that all those three columns or pillars rely on the will of the state. For example, ESA itself would like to do a lot of things, I'm sure, and would like to achieve many goals, but it relies only on the will of the countries, of each country who pay its contribution to ESA. So I think my country, France, showed the way to other European countries on space dimension, but now Europe has to move, and the other European countries has to understand that space is a hard game, and we have to invest a lot of public money in this, and we have to increase our budget in the next years on a certain percentage, which is vital for our technology platform and industry. Okay, and the last point I should say, which appears, is education and address to public. I mean, public space guys, space club, are always very easy to go into meetings. I mean, we meet each other, I think, 3 million times a year. 2 days, I mean, I saw you, every one of you, 2 or 3 times this week. But with a great pleasure. But and my leave knows that. The other point is how we address to public. I mean, I'm not so sure that the support to space flight is still the same as it was at the during the Apollo era, or even to the 80s years era. Today, young guys, young students, they are more moving on market and finance and pop star. It's better to be a Paris Hilton than to be to be take hours and years of learning in a school and on hard technical job. So education is a key issue, because in a few years there will be no enough technicians, specialist workers, and doctors in our countries to still sustain the space sector. So we have to think about this, and I think communication addressing to public space issues is a key role, and maybe a suborbital commercial flight could give a more accessible way for the public to go to space and to feel what space is. So this is really a free reflection that we have, and we tried to set up this report in 6 months, which was quite very challenging work, and to see as much people as we could, and we hope that some conclusion will be issued, will be used by the policy authorities, and well, thank you, Jean-Jacques, for what you said. It's a bright sum up and synthesis of this this report we issued. Thank you.
Well, thank you very much to all of you, but maybe we have some time for some questions, Jean-Jacques.
How many questions? If
they're not nasty. If they're nasty, they're for Emmanuel again. Okay, yes?
You touched very briefly on commercialization
of space, but there today are about 40 different projects trying to develop access to space, including access to low Earth orbit, including like Bigelow's space station, private space station. And the question really is, to what extent is the French and the European policy taking that into account? In other words, is this a positive development to encourage initiatives like EADS, space plane recently announced at the Paris Air Show? Or to what extent is this perhaps in conflict with the military and strategic issues? To what extent is there going to be continued government control? And so, in other words, there's this dynamic tension. Is it a good tension or a bad tension, or to what extent is this reflected in the policy objectives?
Well, let me start with a very basic remark, which deals with the conception we have of space on both sides of the ocean. And I think this has been pretty well illustrated by John Luxon 2 weeks ago here. Basically, in Europe, space is considered, and this has been reaffirmed in the European Space Policy paper, is considered as a common asset, which must be used for the best use of mankind, and the implications of that is that we should develop all kind of applications and so on, in order to be well useful and helpful for the citizens, and all the commercial applications, whatever they are. Enter in this framework. Now, on U.S. side, space is much more considered as a strategic asset. And, if I want to be a bit provocative, to say it bluntly, as a tool for domination. And, of course, having these two basic so different conceptions. When you implement space policy, you tend to arrive to pretty different conclusions, and I think what you are stressing there deals with this and with this contradiction and this opposition that you here see between strategic applications and commercial applications. We understand the concern, but I would say we don't share it.
that in one part says we promote commercial development,
mm-hmm.
and on the other hand it says we're going to do everything to defend our strategic objectives. Mm. And if you read those together, plus others, they do seem to be
a kind of
conflict. So
yeah.
I agree.
Okay, thank you. I'm pretty proud of having convincing you so easily.
Another question?
Yes.
Jean-Jacques, I haven't read the report yet. What does it say about cooperation with Russia?
Cooperation with Russia is mentioned at several occasions, but most often in the launcher's area, first for the completion of the Soyuz installation, and second for envisaging or working at really R&T level for a new generation of engines, because they have there some pretty sound and reliable technologies we should build, rely on. Not more.
You touched on this a little bit, but where do you think we are internationally in terms of cooperation, both on the current programs and where we're going in the future with the initiatives that you see in the various countries involved, U.S., Russia, France, Europe at large?
Well, I would say that history tells us that we have been collaborating in space science for years and years and years pretty successfully. And we have a number of success stories to tell in this area. But the collaboration, has been pretty much limited to scientific applications. And one of the suggestions of this report is that we might, maybe today, consider opening the door for to collaboration in other areas. I don't know if it will happen. It never happened in launchers. It never happened in military. It never happened in a number of applications. But is it to be continued as such, or is there a way to overcome some resistance? This is basically the question raised, and the signal sent is that Europe is open to entering discussions.
Well, ISS is certainly an example.
For me, ISS is kind of science. It's science. Yeah. I would say that the civil U.S. civil program, space program, is totally dominated for now by the exploration initiative, and one of the first decisions made was to shut the door to collaboration for the development of the space transportation segment. And making reference to what I stated previously, we have never collaborated in launchers. And I'm not sure, given the timeline and the huge pressure on the calendar, I'm not sure that Europe would have been able to answer positively to an invitation on such a short period of time. But this is what it is, so this is the first part, and I think that this is going to be for the next years the big piece of the NASA developments, and it's not open. Okay, let's state it this way: we can consider the next steps, but it's a long term question, and I'm not sure that this is what you want to address. So, and one of the consequences of that is that the biggest part of the NASA budget is not open to collaboration, and the other part is smaller. But at the same time, the positive outcome of the strong budget pressure applied on NASA in order to be able to develop the transportation system is that, they have some very important and key scientific objectives to achieve, but they are working in an incredibly constrained budget environment. And of course, one of the consequences is to open the door there pretty wide to a new collaborations in essentially in earth science, but also science of the universe and so on. And I would see here a very positive tendency. So I'm pretty confident that we'll be able to conclude some fruitful collaborations in the next month or years. Well, for now, we have some ongoing collaborations with China in science, which are, as far as I know, I don't know much about that, but as far as I know, which are going pretty well. But there is no will at short term to enter into a number of new or more ambitious collaborations for now. But China is an uprising actor. Everybody knows that, and they are part of the game now. And we welcome having a new space power rising.
From a purely French national point of view, could you speak? From a purely French national point of view, could you speak to the relative priorities that France would be interested in pursuing, for instance, like the Mars programs, defense issues, or like Earth applications like GMES? What, just from a French point of view, what is France most interested to fund and to pursue?
Well, I would say all. But frankly speaking, we do not conceive abandoning, for instance, Earth's observation to favor, I don't know, navigation or anything of that kind. So we have basically several programs. The first one is access to space, which is, if there is one priority, this one should be the first one. And then we have Earth observation, and in France we have a long history of development through the SPOT series, SPOT Helios series, now continuing with the Pleiades program, and there is no question that this is going to be continued. We will also continue our participation in Galileo, and there is no real priority. You know, we cannot oppose one application to the others. The plan is to continue them all. Then within each of the applications, yes, there are priorities. For instance, if you ask me about science or exploration, yes, for now the priority is set to Mars. Not saying that it might not change the future, but for now the priority is robotic missions to Mars. Okay.
Can I say that about France's view on the China anti-satellite test and the debris that it put up? What should the world as a whole do, at least the Western world, perhaps address these kinds of things? What do you think the policy was, the objectives of China in performing this particular mission?
Well, I expected this question, and I felt upset not to have it. Frankly speaking, I would say that for France, we have no doubt that China had the technological capacity to do that, and they did it. So as such, it's a non-event. Now, what is more interesting is the reactions induced or by this test, and we basically have I would say basically two sets of reactions. The first one is people thinking that this is a signal sent, that we should maybe think of some new international policy and maybe developing a code of conduct over some international rules of the game. And the second set of reactions is pretty opposite to that, which is, well, this test shows how much we need to develop countermeasures, and we should work, towards some kind of more military developments. And here in the U.S., at the very beginning, we heard the two sets of reactions. And very interestingly, now only one is heard anymore, which is the second one for those who have any doubt about it. In Europe, I only heard the first set of reactions. I'm a bit schematic, but no. Frankly speaking, the reaction is pretty different, and once again, it's a direct consequence of the very different conceptions that we have of space on the both sides of the ocean.
In terms of the Mars exploration, since France put it. Pretty high priority. Is France thinking some potential partner, or will it prefer develop it on its own?
Oh no, the Mars exploration for us is clearly based on a strong international partnerships. So first with our European partners through ESA or a national basis, but also with the United States. We are a very strong contributor to the Mars MSL, Mars Science Laboratory, and believe me, it's a big effort that we make there. So no, it's really open to collaboration.
Okay.
On va peut-être conclure.
I have a two-part question. One is you. It's a short one. One is you. You mentioned that you welcome Europe, the EU, as coming into European space policy, and I wonder how you resolve the difference in member states for the EU versus the European Space Agency. And then I also wonder. How is Europe going to develop military policy for military use of space in the future, especially after the Astro Plus program study? And whose competence would that go under? Would that go under the EU or the ESA?
The first part, I think that it's up to member states to make decisions. You know, the EU ESA thing is a very basic decision to be made. For instance, if we favor funding through ESA, as I said, member states funding through a program through ESA are given a stronger control, but at the same time, I'm not sure that this goes in the direction of a real European independent from the member states. When I will oppose European to member states here, to a European leadership. But it's up to member states to decide how the budget should flow towards space applications directly from EU, and EU funding ESA is basically something that is pretty realistic, but with EU, according to EU rules, and ESA is for now the right body, I think, to monitor the developments of a huge scale space programs. or and I would say it's a decision to be made by member states. I have my own views. I think I expressed them and have nothing to say. So if member states are able to agree on that, then everything will be clear. If they don't, then they won't, and we will we will stay in the position we are in which we are for now. Your second question was military development. Well, I think that this cannot be addressed for now properly at European level. Europe is the process of building up Europe is currently ongoing. So we have done already a number of things, and I think that a number of things have been made on the commercial and side with the European Community. And the next steps are to achieve political leadership at European level, and I think that this is something which is going on with the elaboration of the constitution, the constitution maybe has not been adopted, but now we have a new treaty, so it's moving forward, and the next step will be the military issue. So it's for now it cannot I think be properly addressed by European Union. ESA definitely is not the right body for that, neither according to its status. Even though it can do a number of things, but basically it's not made for that. And for now, I do not exclude that Europe will be able to develop some space military programs, and I think that my presentation has been pretty clear on that. But for now, it's based on the goodwilling of some member states, a limited number of member states, which conclude among themselves some multilateral agreements to develop one given program. And then all the others, once the process is started, all the others will be invited to join, and in the end we will succeed in having some European military programs. But for now, I think that this is the way to go. Thank you.